sort of talking with John by way of disciples. We left the last two chapters with Jesus again instructing his disciples, teaching them about things that would happen when they get into ministry as they go out and preach the gospel, warning them of some dangers, some things that will happen to them by their own family, by the world that's out there. And it's a good message for us to remember as we call ourselves Christians and we want to be Christ-like and we want to live for him and do what he's called us to do. So from here, he's moving on, and then we're going to go to here, chapter 11, where we're going to be introduced to John the Baptist. So let me read these 20 verses, and then we'll go from there, or 19. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding the 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Or what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garment? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, but they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine bibbler, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children." Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who will illuminate to us the truth of your word. So we lift up this portion of Matthew to you right now, Lord, and we ask you to speak to our hearts. We ask you to guide us. We ask you to show us the truth. We ask you to fill us, Father God. Help us to take these nuggets that you desire for each of us personally and to apply them within our heart. So we ask you to watch over this study, watch over this fellowship, watch over our city, watch over our state, watch over our country. We call upon you, Lord God, for mercy. We pray that you would keep us on the path that you have desired us to be on, the narrow path, that our lives might represent you, Lord, and that those around us would experience your love and your mercy through us, Lord. So fill us with your Spirit, Father. Watch over our children as they learn upstairs. Bless our teachers as they teach them, Lord, and love them, helping them to know who you are. For we know one day they too will have to make their own decision whether to love you and follow you. So we pray for guidance for the entire ministry this morning. We ask you to touch all of our lives. And I do want to pray for those that are not here, Lord. I know many are sick. I know a few are gone because of the sun. We just pray that you'd watch over every person that is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John the Baptist. We come to verse 1 of chapter 11, and we're told, "And now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their city. So Jesus, remember, in chapter 10 and 9, they had gone out and they went out through all these different cities proclaiming the gospel and teaching the message. The Bible says they actually went healing and raising the dead and healing the sick. They did all sorts of stuff because God had given them power to do this, like Jesus had, or Jesus had anointed them to do this. So they went out, and Jesus said that before they went through all the cities that he would come, and this is what he did. He's going now, and he's going through some of these cities, and the same thing, he's preaching and teaching. So he's following up at what his disciples have done and at what his word said. He says, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? So John, we know, is in prison. We know why he's in prison. John was in prison because he rebuked Herod for marrying his brother's wife in an adulterous affair that he had with her, taking her and marry what is her name? Whore something. Or something. I can't, man, I lost a blank on her name. Herodias. He married Herodias, that was his brother's wife, and of course Herod didn't like it, had him put in prison, and John is in prison. I read that somewhere that he had been in prison about a year at this point, which I find interesting, only because you guys know who John the Baptist is? John was of the royal line of the priesthood. His father was a priest. His mother was the daughter or ancestor daughter of Aaron, who is the priestly line. And John is raised in the wilderness. He was trained out there and raised out there. And you might call him a hunter or a man of the wilderness. You know, like in our culture today, we have these guys that are out there in the forest and they love the trees and they love the oceans and the you know, ducks and flowers and bears and all this stuff, man. They like wearing boots and camouflage, and they just love to be out there, man. That's their thing. This is John. John is a man of, you know, called a man free of spirit. He was out there just living life, depending on the land, depending on God, and now he's confined. And he's not even being judged. It's funny because he proclaimed to Herod that you're an adulterer, what you're doing is wrong, you're taking your brother's wife, that is wrong, and he passed the judgment and proclaimed God's truth to Herod, and yet here he is waiting for a year just to be sentenced. His freedom's taken from him. And so when I was reading about this whole thing about John and possibly being in prison up to a year at this time, I was thinking, man, what a life to be taken away from you when you're so free to do what you want to do. Now, of course, his calling was to proclaim Jesus Christ. That's what he was being trained for and raised for. And so when you think of John, you think of who he is. Here he is. He's in jail. But he heard about Jesus. He heard about what he was doing. Now, it's interesting because John is who? The cousin of Jesus, remember? They're actually cousins by blood through Mary and Martha, his mother. Elizabeth, thank you. Through Mary and Elizabeth. And yet, John didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know that he was going to be the Messiah. He had no idea. He asked the question, asked them, are you the coming one, or are we still waiting for another? He had no idea that his cousin was the Messiah. Now, I find that interesting because we know that the Bible teaches us that when Jesus came, they said, the scripture said that there was nothing special about Jesus. His form and his appearance was no different than any other man. If Jesus was sitting here today, you would not recognize him in our culture. He'd be like me. He'd have a Hawaiian shirt sitting right over there, kicking back. You know, there's not a glow on him that you wouldn't see, because the Bible says he was normal. And John obviously never saw nothing about him. Even when he came to be baptized by John, John finally realized who this guy is. But remember, the sign was the dove would fall upon. That's how John knew, when the dove fell upon him. Man, here is the Lamb of God right here. That's when it all opened up for him. But up until that point, he had no idea. And here he asked the question, are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that Israel has been waiting for to deliver its people? And or is there somebody else? That's the question he asked Jesus through his disciples. Verse 4 says, Jesus answered and said to them, to the two disciples that John had sent, go and tell John the things which you have heard, the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell John of the things I am doing, present tense. Not past tense. These are the things they actually are witnessing. The things they're actually seeing him do. The things, the people he's touching, the deliverance and the opening. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you tell John that you are witnessing before your very eyes the miracles that the Old Testament has spoken about, specifically Isaiah. Go tell John that you're witnessing the very word of God being done in front of your eyes. Tell him of all you've heard and especially of all you've seen. And then he lists these things of the leopard and the blind and the deaf and the poor. Well, let me read you Isaiah chapter 35 that Jesus is basically quoting. Isaiah 35 verse 5 and 6 said, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and they'll be able to hear. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Isaiah 61:1, we all know this verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. In these two verses alone, and there's more in the Old Testament, but in these two portions of Isaiah, we have the eyes of the blind are open. Those who cannot see, I believe both physically and spiritually. I believe that the eyes of the blind, Jesus touched a person who was actually blind. Well, there's plenty of references to an actual blindness of man. But I also believe there is the blindness in the spirit of people that have to be able to see. Before we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ, we were all blind, were we not? We could not see Jesus. We could not believe in who he was and what he was until the Spirit opened our eyes, and then we see. That's why when you get saved and you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the things you used to do, you don't want to do them no more. Right? We used to go partying. We used to go drinking. We used to do all kinds of stuff. But you get saved, and all of a sudden, your eye, you go, whoa, I can't do that no more. I can't hang around with them no more. I can't be a part of this anymore. And all of a sudden, your eyes are open in your spirit, and you realize, this is not a part of my life anymore. Why? Because our eyes were open to the blindness of the lies of the world. And we end up having to get new friends, and we end up having to do new things, and the things we used to do, we don't do. I used to be a big Dodger fan. We had season tickets, going there all the time. I used to stack up my cups of beer, man, 10, 12 high, you know. Man, I can do another one, man, and just keep buying them, you know, leave Dodger Stadium, just waste it, smash. But when I got saved, it's like, man, I can't do that no more. That's not a part of my life anymore. Why? Because my eyes were open to the truth that alcohol was killing me. It was sending me straight to hell. And when our eyes are open, so here, the eyes of the blind shall be open. He says, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. I mean, how many of us actually heard the Spirit talking to us? Not many, not any, unless the Lord opens the ear. Now, physically, he touched people. Spiritually, now we hear the Spirit. Before, we didn't hear the Spirit. Now, guess what? We are hearing the Spirit speak to us. The lame will leap, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. I was thinking, man, all the songs I used to sing, all the oldie but goodies and country albums I used to be involved with. You know, this morning I got up, my knees have been hurting like crazy this week, and I was sitting in front of my computer going through my notes, and I got like, oh, and I was like, oh, all of a sudden I go, ooh ee, ooh ah ah, bang, bada bada bing bang, ooh ee, ooh ah ah, ding bang, bada bada bing. And I go, oh Lord, my knees, they don't want to work this morning. Ooh ee, ooh ah ah. And I went and told Diane my song. She just started laughing. And I just like, you know, these songs that I have in me, and I had a, you know, I always try to change the old lyrics back into something to God and or my physical health in this case, and I just started, and I sang it all the way to church this morning. That's where my joy came from this morning. Ooh, ee, ooh. You know, I just, okay, God, praise the Lord, man. You know, I got these aches and pains, and it is what it is. So, you know, I can't wait to be this part physically. Spiritually, I know that the lame will leap. And I know in my heart, I'm able to, in my heart, to come to God anywhere, any place. And I can't wait physically when I'm made whole again, where I can be leaping in heaven and no more aches and pains. Amen. No more aches and pains, man. So these are the things that he says. Isaiah, heal the brokenhearted. I mean, how many people are brokenhearted? Our world is brokenhearted. Many of us don't even know we were brokenhearted. We realized we were brokenhearted after we got saved. We go, wow, I was really brokenhearted. I just didn't realize I was brokenhearted, you know. Proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are in bondages. He says, opening the prison to those that are in bond or who are bound. And I think of physically and I think of spiritually, of people that are confined and they have not the freedom of Christ, the real freedom. It's funny because when we're in the world, we're doing all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't do. And we don't think about being in bondage, but really we are. We're confined. But in Christ, we're released. And we're not in bondage. Like people say, well, why don't you drink? Because I don't want to drink anymore. I've gone that route. It's caused me nothing but pain and misery. It's caused me a divorce. It's caused me broken relationships. It's caused me 6 cars that I've totaled out. Not to mention the 6 to 9 drunk driving tickets that I've had. I mean, drinking to me has done nothing to help me one bit. So, who's in bondage, me or you? You have to drink. You cannot stop drinking, so you're the one in bondage. Me, I have a choice every day. I can go drink today, or I cannot drink. I'm free. Who's in bondage, me or you? You, not me. Because I can do whatever the Lord wants me to do, and right now, it's not a part of my life. And that goes with anything. So, being free, the opening of the prison to those that are bond. And Jesus is telling his disciples of John, you go tell John the things you've heard and the things you've seen. And this is his message back. And then in verse 6 he says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This verse was a little tricky for me. I was looking at it and saying, okay Lord, what is this here? Offended, because I looked up offended, it means to be, to stumble or to trip up. And it says because of me. And I started praying and of course studying and reading, and what I gathered from all this is that the message of the gospel that Jesus brought was contrary to the message of the religious system of the time, which was under law and having to perform. And of course we know no one can keep the entire law. No one can walk the law and be perfect. It's impossible. The law was there to demonstrate that we can't do it by works. But Jesus said, and blessed is he who's not offended because of me, because of what he represents, the crucifixion of the cross, the freedom that is given to us, that we don't have to be religious in the sense of performing, but that we're able to live in freedom because of him. And, you know, I think about how many people are actually offended because of Jesus. I mean, we run into them all the time. There's people, you talk about Jesus and they're offended. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. And so there are many even today that are offended. But Jesus said, blessed are them who are not offended because of him. Not offended of the cross. It's not a stumbling block. It's not anything that keeps them away. It's what draws them closer. And Jesus draws us close. He says, as they departed, verse 7, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Now the Jordan River is full of reeds. And it's full of the air that hits there, and the reeds, you know, they kind of sway back and forth. And Jesus said, let me tell you some good things about John. John is not like a reed who swayed back and forth. We know John the Baptist was a very powerful, upright man. In some ways, he was very harsh. I kind of think I'm kind of like John. I'm more blunt and to the point like John. And John was the kind of guy that he just told you like it was. He told Herod flat out, hey, you're sinning, man. You got your brother's wife, and you know that's wrong. And it put him in jail. John is not a reed that kind of compromises and goes with the flow. He doesn't bend because people want him to bend. He knows exactly who he is and what he is and what he believes. And he believes Scripture. And so Jesus said, did you go out and see this? To go out and see this reed? No, John is strong. He's fearless. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Now, John, we know, wore camel's hair. That's rough. Animal hide. And he also ate locusts and wild honey. And he was like I told you, he was a wilderness man, a mountain man, you might say. He didn't have the softness of clothing. In fact, Jesus said here that those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. The wealthy, the those in authority have the luxury of, you know, the three-piece suits and shoes that cost $1 million a pair, you know. Those are the ones that have that. That's not John. John came in sandals, looking more like a caveman than a businessman. Kind of like the Calvary Chapel gang, right? We just come as we are. You know, this is who we are. We come in shorts. We come in short hair, long hair. Some of you come in dressed up. Most of you don't. We're relaxed because we know Jesus doesn't judge according to the appearance, but according to the heart. That was one of my greatest verses when I first got saved, was to realize I didn't have to get all dressed up to go to church. You know, if you want to, I say do it. I like getting dressed up on Sunday a little bit. That's just me. Part of that's my upbringing because of having to get dressed up every Sunday. It's kind of in me now. But I'm free in it now. But there's a lot of times, man, I like coming. I mean, wasn't it this year or last year I came the first time on a Sunday morning in shorts? I mean, it was really hard for me to do that. But see, again, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge your outside appearance, man. I'm looking at your heart. And there's a lot of freedom with that, because then you can come comfortable and get ready to go out and do what you got to do and be ready for it. So, did you come to see a man in soft clothing? The answer is no. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? He says, yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. Now, John is considered by Jesus the highest prophet of all the prophets of the Old Testament. He goes on to say, for this is he of whom it is written, and he's quoting Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 here, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Jesus was telling them that John was the one prophesied who would come and prepare the way for Jesus, the one who would usher in Jesus. This was prophesied in Malachi 400 years before, that there would be one who would come and prepare the way. Jesus is saying, this is the one you guys have heard about. This is the one you've read about. This is the one the Old Testament speaks about. Now, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And we have a 400-year gap between Malachi and Matthew's gospel of nothing being said by God or by any prophet. And something you need to remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are basically really Old Testament gospels. Because the New Testament doesn't really start till Jesus' crucifixion. And so John is still a part of the Old Testament in prophecy. And Jesus says, this is the one you've heard about. This is the one that has been spoken about. And he's going to come and he's going to prepare the way. He says, surely I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So here's the one that's been prophesied, the one that was predicted, the one who was going to come. And I'm telling you that of all the men born of women, no one is greater than John. No one is greater than John. Now, there's two things to think about in these verses here. First, born of women, the natural birth, the physical birth. Of all those born in the natural and physical, no one, he says, is greater than John. John is considered the greatest of all the prophets, and he's also considered the last of all the prophets. He said, but there's no one greater than him. But then he says, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, or greater than he. So first the natural, the born of women. Then he says, least in the kingdom of heaven. Here we're talking about those being born again. See, first you have the natural birth, then there's the spiritual birth. And he says, of those that are of the kingdom of heaven, the one that is the least is the least, the lowest at the level. Even, he says, even that person, and he's talking about a born-again person, is greater than John. How? Why would the least be greater than John, who is of the natural? I submit to you, because a born-again Christian has what John didn't have, and that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Old Testament saints weren't filled like we are. God had to pour his Spirit upon different men at different times to accomplish different things. But in the New Testament, it's completely different. We are given the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit draws us into relationship with Jesus Christ. And apart from the Spirit, we can never, ever be born again. That's why he says you must be born of the Spirit. So, in the New Testament, even the least among us, he says, is greater than John. Now, I know that can be hard to understand. I always think, oh, you know, John, he's great. Moses is great. King David is great. But yet, us being born again, filled with God's Spirit, it puts us in a you might say, a higher position. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. 24 hours a day. The Spirit of God is with us, leading us, teaching us, guiding us, helping us, showing us what we need to do or not do, helping us to live the life Christ called us to live. He shows us the friends we should have and the friends we shouldn't have. He shows us the relationship we should be in and the relationships we should not be in. He shows us the things we should be a part of and the things we should not be a part of.